Stay in the Know with Radio 2000 Podcast.
Right, it's 8 minutes after eight. Thank you to Evelyn, and coming back again at 9 o'clock and at 10 o'clock. For now, though, it is the second hour of life, love, and all. Guys, we go on. We go on. We go on. Like life should, eh? And like life does. Let's go on to the next hour. Let me tell you what we're doing in this hour. You know, we've got Castro Musinyali on the show. And remember, it's Monday, Men Day, right? Castro raised his hand saying, I'm a father who is in litigation regarding my six-year-old whose mom died in 2017. The battle started before the mom passed away and while she was still my partner, though we were not married. The grandparents, especially the grandfather, hates me near my child, so he made it difficult for me to raise my child. He's here to take us through his journey. Castro is here to help us navigate this difficult road where so many men are coming and saying, but I am not allowed to raise my own child. Yeah? So let's talk about that. So we'll be talking to Castro Musinyali. Remember, you can always call us. You can always, you know, share your thoughts with us in our discussions. We also got a message from Crispin to say he didn't drop the call just before we ended the show, the hour before. He didn't drop the call. He got cut off in Zona Temba. So, and he tried to call back, he says. So we'll continue this this conversation. Clearly, South Africa is not getting any better. Clearly, these discussions will need to be had going forward. So Crispin, we will continue the conversation. And hopefully when we do continue the conversation, we'll also have, you know, the police on the show and have other people on the show who are also able to answer these questions with you so that we get a clearer understanding of what is going on. But for now, we are talking the second hour of Life, Love and All on a Monday evening. It's Monday, Men Day. So talking about all issues affecting men. Castro, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. How are you?
I am good. Thank you very much for joining us. This is Castro Musinyali, and we also have Ntabiseng Dubazana, who's the director and attorney at Dubazana Attorneys. You know, we've got Ntabiseng just to explain the legal side of things and what rights Castro would have and where we would go with that. Castro, take me through your story before we welcome Ntabiseng on the show.
Thank you for the opportunity, the invitation as well. I hope we have the whole night talking about this, because I do not even know where to start, but you did introduce the story very well. My story started as soon as my daughter was born in 2016. A few months later, I had to go to the family advocate in the Thwando office to tell them that I'm struggling to raise my daughter, but the challenge I'm facing is basically not because the mother is making it impossible. Yes, I was not married to the mother, but I love my child, and I wanted to make sure that I am there for my child. But it was not easy at all, because most of the time when I had to see my child, I had to depend on an opportunity that would arise when somebody said not to be home, or you know, or when the mother is in the Polokwane area instead of Thwando with the child there, that's when I will be free to see the child. So I thought the way out of this, because I couldn't see any other way, because culturally nothing was done in a way that I understand it, to try and facilitate the issue of the child who was born or before the child was born. So I when I had to buy groceries for my child, sometimes I would have to leave them at the spaza shop nearby, because I couldn't get closer to where the child is. When I had to see my child, maybe I would have to wait and sometimes postpone until the following day. When the child is sick and I had to go to the doctor, I couldn't take my child to the doctor. So those are the difficulties that I faced.
What did the grandfather say? And I mean, you did say that the grandfather is the one who made it even more difficult. What did he say? What was his reason?
When we went to the family advocate, he made it clear in front of a magistrate at the children's court at the time that he doesn't want me near his home. And I must be honest, it's not like I wanted to be near his home. The other problem was that it was not possible as well or easy for the mother to take the child outside that home to perhaps my home where I could, you know, freely see my child. So he said it in front of the magistrate that he doesn't want whichever means that I'm using at the current stage. It was in 2016. I must use that to see my child, but he just doesn't want me near his home where my child is. I remember the magistrate actually begging him to say, can you please allow him to at least take the child to the doctor when the child is not well. I don't remember if he said yes or no, but nothing worked even after that. So when we went again to the family advocate after the passing of the mother, he said the reason I remember is that my child will come to me when she's 8 years old or 11 years old. Those are the reasons that I ever had being said.
Wow. And Thabiseng Dubazana, how are you?
I'm well, Obabaseka. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. And Thabiseng, what rights does Castro have? I mean, we're listening to his story here, and he's not allowed to see his own child, take care of his own child, take his child to the doctor, you know, all of that. Basically, he's been pushed away from his child, and this child is growing up. His mom has passed away. The child's mom has passed away already. The daughter's mom has passed away already. And the dad just wants to be there for his child, but the grandparents are making it impossible. What rights does he have?
He has full rights like any parent would, like the mom would, and while she was still alive and everything. So I perhaps would have missed the part where he says, or he indicates whether or not there is an existing parenting plan. And what does it state, you know, prior to the death of the biological mom of the child, and how it was being dealt with prior to the death. Now, if there is an existing parenting plan, then from the little bit that I got from his story, that the magistrate was begging the grandfather to allow a biological father to have access to the child, that does not make sense to me. Because it should be that when the parent, the biological mother, dies, full rights fall onto the biological father. There is no reason, at least I don't know what the court had said so far, but legally there is no reason why he should not be living with his child and allowing the grandparents to have access to the child, because of course they grew up in the maternal side of the family, and she got used to seeing the grandparents and all of that, but it shouldn't be the way that he is saying it now. So unfortunately, not having court papers in front of me to see what has transpired and court orders, etc., I can't exactly say much on it. I would have to see what happened in order to give even more of an opinion on it.
What do you say, Castro? Was there ever a parenting plan? How do we respond to the questions that Thabiseng is asking?
Yes, in 2017, February, before the mother passed on, due to me approaching the family advocate and the children's court in 2016, there was a misdirected parenting plan. Because how do you draw a parenting plan for two parents who are not differing about raising their child, but it was only slotted in because there is a grandfather who is making it impossible for me to raise my child. So it was there, as if me and the mother were differing on raising the child. The mother made it clear at the family advocate that it's in the report that she said, I am afraid of my father. It's in the report in black and white. So after the passing of the mother, I then applied for, I prefer to call it custody, because I believe the word that is being used, which is primary care, it's sugar-coated poison. I believe it doesn't have a meaning after what I've experienced. So it's custody. So I applied for that, and I was labeled by a judge. I was labeled a cock that cannot live in the same house with a hen, because it will mate with it. I had to report that judge to the Judicial Service Commission. That was in 2018, and he recused himself in 2019. By then, in 2018, there was already a second order, or rather a parenting plan, which was effective from December 2018. which allowed me access to my child on alternative weekends from Friday to Sunday. And the matter was concluded by another judge in 2019, July. And the judgment was handed down in around September 2019. And it was against me. But the rot started with the family advocate's conduct in Thohoyandou, whereby we held what they call mediation. I don't know how to call it, whereby I was invited together with the grandparents, and they were busy insulting me there and so forth. I remember the hands of the panel was full. They were trying to reprimand them to say, please respect this person. So we waited for the report, which was said to be that it would be out in 30 days. The report didn't come out in 30 days. And when we went to the magistrate, he said, no, he can't do anything because there's no report. But according to him, just like our guest as well has said, the rights must go to the father, but he can't make a decision without a report from the family advocate. So another meeting was called between me and the grandparents, and this time the grandfather is the only one who attended. The grandmother was not there. And the first interview or report never saw the light of day. So I suspect that the first officials who conducted that interview, they probably did what recommended what was right according to law and according to nature. So it had to be discarded by the second interview, which produced a report which recommended that the child must be given to the grandparents, and I will be a visiting parent. And when we went to court, that's when I was then told that a cock cannot live under the same roof with a hen. And I believe that I became maybe a target of the show of force because I reported a judge to the Judicial Service Commission. So nothing was supposed to work for me. And I believe that as well, something nasty would have happened in the beginning. There's some facilitation of what is not right from the beginning, from the discarding of the first report of the family advocate. I think something is very suspicious. Right now, the case, I decided to appeal the 2019 judgment. A lot happened. That's why I said, no, maybe we'll have the whole night to talk about this. A lot happened from moving my case from Thohoyandou without the knowledge of my lawyers, nor me, to Polokwane. And somebody just discovered that matter on the roll of the court the morning of the day. And she called and said, is this not our matter? And it was confirmed that this was our matter. She had to run around looking for where this case was being heard, because the court that was indicated on the notice board was not the right one. So she finally found the matter proceeding, which was the application for leave to appeal. And then she intervened to say, we were not notified. And when they tried to inquire what happened, I understand I was not there. I understand the secretary of the judge said, no, my lawyer was not available on the phone. They asked for an email to see the sent email. Then apparently he or she then confessed that, no, I forgot. But funny enough, the representative for the family, the other family, was in court and having driven 180 kilometers from Thohoyandou, when they are the respondents and the applicant, who is me, was not informed. So when we went again, the matter was postponed to the following month. When it was postponed to the following month, we indicated to the judge that, you are saying this father cannot raise his child because he doesn't have a bond with the child. He has 2 years without seeing his child or something like that. And we said, we don't see the 2 years. And the judge says, no, the court order is not in her file, that she's not aware of that. So it became very confusing. And I was sent to look for that court order. I went to Thohoyandou Registry at the High Court. That court order was not found. Actually, another lawyer told me that it cannot be found because it was stolen. So it's just a mess. What I went through, it's not what a normal person would do to another person. I think something is wrong with the people who are doing what they are doing.
You know, the thing is, this is a story of many men. I've been hearing a lot of men saying, we are struggling, we are not being allowed to raise our own children, we are not being allowed to be part of our children's lives. This is wrong. How, we need to fix it. What do we do, Ntebi Singh?
Sure. Lately, I've been representing a lot of men in similar situations, and it is such a struggle to fight for men versus fighting for women when it comes to children. It seems, basically from a standpoint of somebody who represents men more than women, that the stance is that mothers are in a better position to take care of children. However, when most cases, not most, some cases, when you look into it, the ones that I at least have been involved in, it has been proven that dad is in a better position to take care of the kids, be it emotionally, be it financially, or whatever the case may be. And yet we still have to climb this horrific ladder that doesn't make any sense. You know, their situation, his situation really isn't unique, wherein the social workers kind of mess up, the family advocates mess up the reports because they seem to be biased to the mother. And then if you're not legally represented, I'm glad that he is, but if you're not legally represented, you won't pick up on these things and you will not be able to challenge and fight for these things on behalf of your client. So I think what we can do at this stage as at least legal representatives is to find it on a case by case and make it as known as possible that this is the situation that is currently going on. Because even though there are fathers who are fighting, they end up giving up because they are not getting what they deserve to get. Even if it's not his situation wherein mom is now late, and then the kids are now with grandparents, it also leads to mom and dad who are still alive. And then it ends up being a situation of, you know what, it's fine, let's leave it, I will see it when I see it. And then we get the flip side, whereby mom is also trying so much to get dad involved as well, and then dad is not coming to the party, and then she ends up giving up, and there's an existing parenting plan. And then when mom stops trying to get dad to come into the picture and be with baby or child, then a year or two down the line, dad says, but you've been depriving me of access. These are the challenges that we meet when we get to court, saying, okay, but you said you haven't seen your child in this many years, but you were not coming to the party. So it's so difficult to fight for men, but it is worth it because it will get there at the end, even though it takes long. This situation, however, I find it quite appalling, because if there is legal representation on both sides, why is there what seems to be underhandedness that is happening? Why are court cases being set down without the opposing counsel being notified of anything of the sort? Why are certain judgments are missing because they form the basis of any appeal or any situation that is currently happening? So, yeah, unfortunately, there is no direct answer on how do we deal with this. It's a bias that is within the system, and we fight it on a case-by-case basis as we go along, because there's nothing much we can do at this stage until it gets to where I hope it gets to, the Supreme Court of Appeal, maybe even the Constitutional Court, where the rights of dads could officially be made out to say this cannot happen, this should be the situation and whatever. Because we do have recent case law whereby mom and grandma were refusing dad access to the child. And they were sentenced to 30 days imprisonment, I believe it was, but it was suspended for a period of 3 years. It was in the High Court in Pretoria, if I'm not mistaken. So there is retribution in that aspect, but the issue of the constitutional rights of dad has not gone to that stage whereby that has to be decided upon so the Constitutional Court can pronounce on it and actually make it law. So right now, all that has happened is that it was a contravention of a court order and a criminal sanction was imposed on both parties, and then we hope that the action will be rectified. Yeah, so that is basically what is currently going on and what we are hoping we will be able to change on a case-by-case basis.
It really is a difficult one, Ntebi Singh. And, you know, it's in a country where we are struggling with a lot of children who are being raised by single parents, a lot of children who say, I need my father, I want my father, he's not available, the fathers who do want to be available should actually be given a chance. Let's go to our voice notes. Let's go to our voice notes and hear what we've got there.
Hi, Mapasega. What I'm going through, me and my husband, we have separated. So after being separated, then nagina go a shark go gumkuku, and then yena also it's going through. Okay, fine. So the problem is horemenu ikawata ba hore na kehana gavana kesa hani gavana yena ha dutili bana. If bana buys a mistake, then he will say, yeah, you're just like your mother. Yeah, you know other things that I don't know about your mother. Kore bana tshwanje ba rabele dilo tse leng hore aba ditse. Then your mother all the time, mau why one. So na ke tsere bana baka, and then yena ho nomeno pride ya hae ndumile hore atle mo mkhukhung atlo bona bana ba hae, why one. So ke mathata. But now I was willing to ready co-parent the root one. As if he I hold off.
Hey, I hear you. I hear you when you say that. We've got Swane on the line. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. How are you, Tswang?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right. Thank you. What's on your mind? Tell me about it.
I'm good. It's France, actually, from Polokwane. Abra Castro, how are you, my brother?
I'm fine. France, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. We'll talk after this interview. Mapaseka, the same problem that Abudi Castro is going through, he's not the only one. Mm. It's a lot of us. And the problem is one in this country. Our justice system, the DSD, social workers, they are the most evil, corrupt human beings in this country that I've ever come across with. There's a lot of us that we want to take care of our kids. We want to be there for our kids. And when we separated with these people, me and you, we might have issues, but those things got nothing to do with the kids.
Mm.
I'm not going to be an ATM father who take care of the child financially that I can't see. That's what the justice department system they are doing to us. And they are very good taking us to maintenance court to take care of this child that we are not even seeing. So the problem is with the justice department, and it's only one-sided. I've been with attending Castro's court. We have been attending my cases. We know the story. We know how corrupt these people are. And at the end of the day, they're going to tell us that the country has a population of 75% of children that are fatherless. Whereas we are here, we want to be there for our kids. Earlier, you were talking with the about the police and everything. All the departments of this, everything is just corrupt and rotten in this country. We are not fighting anyone. We are not doing anything. And we didn't even fight with these people. Even Castro can tell you. We didn't even fight with his in-laws and everything. He just want to be there for his child, to be a father to his child. But the system, the law, is denying him to do this.
Sure. It's tough, man, and it sounds hard. I'm sorry that you're going through this. It's hard. It does sound very hard, and Tabi saying, hey?
It is, and what we have resorted to do, please let me speak for myself, what we have resorted to do in our firm is to partner up with people who do have these kinds of rights to draw up parenting plans and also draw up these opinions. So basically what the work of the family advocate does, private people can do this, so they can have these interviews with the parents and with the kids and be able to draw up a report that can be submitted to
that's
in
great.
Order. Hello?
Yeah, that's great. That's amazing.
Sure. Yeah, so that's what we're trying to do, because we have seen the problem wherein social workers, either they're biased or they're not willing to do work, or they're inundated with so much work that they don't give cases the kind of attention that they need. Unfortunately, it comes at a cost. It's not as free as it would be in this situation where you take it to the family advocate, but at least you are almost guaranteed a non-biased report, a very objective report, wherein when it goes to the presiding officer, it gives the presiding officer a clear vision of what happens. So the people that we have partnered with in our firm helped us in that situation, whereby we can actually give reports to the court that make sense. We put in the application, we inform the court that, you know what, the court can appoint a family advocate, they can get a report from there. However, we, as the respondent, usually, or the applicant, if the dad is the one applying in the children's court, then we say we request that our own representative, our own psychiatrist or child therapist should have the interview as well. So you can have two reports, and then you can look at both and make an informed decision, because one usually favors the other, the mother, and then the other is usually more objective than anything else. It doesn't favor the father because we are the one who appointed the person. It's a real interview with the child to get the real story about what is happening, get the opinion of the child depending on how old the child is. But if the child is below, like, age 5, and you know, then there's a proper interview with the mom, with dad, and it goes on for a period, so they can get the therapist can give a proper opinion on or report based on the interviews that have been conducted. And also, if necessary, like the family advocate would, go to the houses of each parent, make a proper investigation, so that when they give a report, it is detailed to that extent. So that is what we have tried to counter the situation that is happening within the justice system. But like I said, unfortunately, it doesn't come as free as it would be, as it should be, in terms of the family advocate. So we have to do extra means, because we are fighting for people whose rights are not that represented within the justice system.
You know, I worry about children having to sit there and actually give evidence against their own parent, regardless of which parent they're talking about. That's traumatic. That's traumatic for the kids. That's traumatic for everyone involved. It's just such a horrible thing that we're seeing children go through, in a place where we are told that so many families are led by single women. You know, you want to find a way to change it, but this trying to change it, we then have parents who are coming through, at least fathers who are coming through and saying, we also want to be there, raising our own children, but the obstacles that are put in front of us just seem to be way too much. Let's go to voice notes.
For you, ma'am, thanks for the great show, as always. I always try not to miss your shows. I even set an alarm that I don't have to miss one of your shows. But just yesterday, I was so much hurt that the wife I separated with her in 2014, up to date, she doesn't even want to have me time with my own kids. Yesterday I was just buying them shoes and all the stuff they want. I buy them instead of me going with them, buy what they like. I'm forced to just go and drop them by the door. I wait outside, then just give them. You don't have time, you're not even allowed to have one-on-one conversation with your own child. I've got two kids with her, but it's so hurting. I was hurt yesterday, went to bed, so much hurt that I really need time with my kids. And they can see, you can even tell that they really want to have time with me, especially the older boy. It's just hectic. I couldn't sleep last night because of that. Don't know. I think I really need to see these advocates for who can assist me, because it's just painful. This is James from Boksburg.
Good evening to everyone in the studio. This is such a tricky situation. I think it's a fight between law the law and what is right, and culture, and a lot of abazali bethu being abazali bethu. We know how controlling they can be. So I just want Ubuti to explain those few things to us. How was his relationship with the mother? Did he also pay damages? I'm asking these questions because maybe that's where the parents' frustration and how they are stems from. Because we know in our black society, when parents are unmarried, the child belongs to the maternal side. It's not right, because umntana should be of both parents. And in a society where a lot of men are absent fathers, we should be promoting into your present fathers. But it's not like that. Abazali bethu are not like that. They want things to be done right. And sometimes when you step up and want to do right, bona, they are no longer there.
Castro, what was your relationship like with your daughter's mom?
Okay, yeah. I said, when she passed on, we were not separated. So that's why I said, actually, even that parenting plan in 2017, it was a misguided one. Because I don't know who it was talking to, because I believe it is supposed to be talking to two parents who are differing on how to raise their child. So, and the lady who speaks about the culture and everything, I think we should remind each other that there's a constitution in this country. It is above every cultural practice and everyone's view and emotions and everything. It's actually above government as well. So, whatever one desires, the constitution would say in section 9 that each one of us is equal before the law. There is no issues of gender and everything, and the best interest of the child is not culture or damages. It is what the child needs. I don't know if I pay damages as an example, what does it do to the child or for the child?
Hold on. Is it something that you're willing to do? For example, if your children's grandparents or grandmother or grandfather says the only thing that's standing between you seeing your child is just you paying damages and acknowledging that you have done this, you have had a child with our daughter who was not married to you, therefore let's pay damages and then you can have your child. Is it something that you would consider?
Unfortunately, 6 years later, they have not made any a demand like that. So,
Answer the question, Castro.
Obviously, I would, if it's put on the table, that's why I always say to people, it was going to be better if maybe we were differing on, maybe I'm saying this amount of damage is too much and so forth. So there is no such demand that has been made. So obviously, if it's put on the table, I will have to consider it and say, is it necessary? Is it worth it? And practically, because if it is the way to solve the issue of my daughter, I will definitely have to consider paying it.
May I ask?
Come in, please.
Based on your answer that De Castro, are you saying that this is not that it has any bearing or weight in terms of legal stance, because really truly that part doesn't matter in the law. But like Osman Paseka was asking, are you saying, Hore, are you saying that from the beginning it was never an issue, so that was never ever dealt with from the beginning, and nor from your side when mom was still pregnant?
No, in our culture, when pregnancy arises, the maternal family must send a delegate to the paternal family to report the pregnancy. They've got in our language what I can interpret as saying your dog has beaten our child.
I hear you.
So it was not done, and it was not done. That's why I'm saying the only reason I've had is that my child will come to me when she's 8 or 11. That one I had in 2018.
Hold on, quick question. What is their culture? So your culture says the family should come to you, to your family, and ekia wudlo batlisempa, basically, right? I understand that. I just want to understand, what is their culture? Is it that they expected you to come that way? Could it be?
No, we are both vendors as families. We are vendors, okay. All of us.
So the understanding is the same.
Yes, the understanding is the same. And actually, my knowledge before the pregnancy of the mother of my child is that something like that happened, and they followed that process that we are talking about another incident in the family.
Oh, okay. So, excuse me, it was just this one time that they didn't do it?
Yes.
Yo, Ntabisi. So what now, Ntabisi?
I know, I don't know, because I was also thinking along the lines of the previous, is it caller or voice note lady, that perhaps they were just babushuku for the fact that nothing was done, because I was thinking it in the, you know, things that in a different kind of culture setting, whereby bahabo mshimani are the ones that go and atale himalato, where they accept malato, etc., etc. So if it's not the same in that situation, I'm just trying to understand the mental and emotional state of dad, why granddad rather, why he would be acting the way that he does. But in any event, if that's how it's supposed to be done, perhaps part of the mediation, because mediation is part and parcel of what we do. In fact, we are supposed to, in terms of Rule 41 of the High Court, to make sure we do mediation, so we can show a mediation certificate that we had tried to mediate this matter. So if in the mediation these things were not conversed at all, it was just a matter of, you know, people shouting at each other and all of that, and not getting to the crux of the matter. These are the things that failed in that day, Castro, and he's not able to see his child today. So mediation didn't go to the crux of the situation, perhaps, I don't know. But maybe if we had gotten to what we have now discovered, maybe that could have been conversed, maybe that could have been rectified, and maybe it wouldn't have taken from 2017 until today for Ndete Castro to even have a glimpse of his child. So, yeah, I was just thinking along those lines, but clearly we are not there. So we just have to see him and his legal team will have to see how best to tackle the situation on the next court date. And perhaps they can apply for a private therapist, you know, to assess the situation, to give a different report and not the family advocate, because clearly that route hasn't been working up until now.
Sure. Let's take a quick voice note.
Good evening, Asma Maseka. A topic for tonight is very close to my heart, because I went through the very same process that the gentleman is going through. Honestly, I had to give up because our system is biased. Women have the upper hand when it comes to children. You can try and can fight as much as you want, but you can't win, because when you get there, they'll tell you that a woman is the one who can raise the child, not you. So that's why I had to give up. Even now, it's been 8 years not seeing my child. And it's not like I don't want to see him, but I tried. I made an appeal. I went to family advocate. We went to court. But our judges are biased.
Good day, Mopaseka. Great show. Good day to you, my guy. Feel sorry for you, my man. This is bad what's happening to you. But I've got only one question, Wanapasi. And it's a very, very scary question. What happens if I'm not saying the grandparents must die or anything, but what happens if they go to church and then they get into a car accident and they both die? What happens to the child when they're refusing the father to be the father? Because if they're the visiting grandparents, it's fine. Let the child be with his father. Or give access to the father. Let my child stay with you as grandparents, but let me be on her life. Let her know me. So that whatever happens to you, it's easy for her to come through to my side if you don't want her to stay with me. What happens to those parents, grandparents, when they both die? What happens to the child? Do they even think about that? Or the grandfather is just so self-centered, and the grandmother? They're only thinking for themselves. They're so selfish. This is not their child. This is this guy's child. They need to give the child to the father, or give let the father come in and out anytime he pleases, so that the father, the child could know his father. Not to know the grandfather as the father. The grandfather is not the father. Grandfather, his child has passed away. That's the story. So he needs to get off his high horse and let this guy get his child. Thanks, Pasi. Svenga here.
Yeah, yeah, I can hear the anger in your voice, and understandably so, I must be honest. I mean, this is your child, and I can imagine the fight I would have if this was my child. And I don't know, man. You know, Ntabiseng, I've always said, a parent who wants to be there, is so important. There are so many parents who are being forced to be there, who then go on to damage the children because they're not interested. But here's a parent who's saying, I want to be there, but somehow he's been denied that. That's sad. It's so, so sad. It's heartbreaking. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can take more calls. We can take more voice notes. But Castro, I also want to hear from you as to what you, how you are dealing with it right now.
Mapaseka Mokwele on Radio 2000. Life, love, and all. Recap.
Talking to Gail Mugwena, and we're talking about loss and trauma in all aspects.
If you look at trauma, it's an event that is unexpected. Right. You know, the thing about life is that when we are born, we are not told that we are coming to a life of suffering. No matter that, even though we can see that there's a lot of suffering, we're still in denial that death is a part of life.
But is the one trauma that's better than the other?
Pain is pain is pain. If you go through pain, you go through pain, regardless of what it is.
This is Life, Love, and All with Mapaseka Mokwele on Radio 2000. Send your voice notes on WhatsApp to 060-584-2250.
Are you looking for specific details from an interview on Radio 2000? If you happen to tune in at the tail end of an interview, or if you'd like to hear a specific interview again, worry not. Just go to www.radio2000.co.za. Click on the show where you heard the interview, and there you will find all the podcasts you might have missed on that particular show. Stay in the know on www.radio2000.co.za. Radio 2000, our music, your memories.
Life, love, and all. Recap.
Talking, how do we eradicate GBV? We've got Lindiwe Ntuli on the line. Lindiwe is a GBV activist.
The thing that makes gender-based violence to continue as it is, we are faced with existing gender disparities as a country. We are faced with challenges whereby women are either unemployed or underemployed. We live in a situation whereby there's so much around the urban crime. For an example, there's substance abuse that is taking place in our communities, and also the issues of patriarchy also plays a role.
But the other thing that is causing it to escalate, the issue of silence.
This is Life, Love, and All with Mapaseka Mokwele on Radio 2000. Call Mapaseka Mokwele now on 089-110-2000. Send your voice notes on WhatsApp to 060-584-2250. Monday is Men Day. Conversations with men on Life, Love, and All with Mapaseka Mokwele.
All right, it's about 9 minutes to go to 9 o'clock. And just before we get there, we've got a caller who's waiting. Let's hear what you've got to say, Ismail, so that we can also respond and wrap up after that. Ismail, hi.
Hi, hey, it's Ismail. Mapaseka and Castro. I've got a different take. You know, culturally, there's no, culture doesn't stop you to go to the other side and address matters. It's it has always been a case of maternal will be the one who goes and relay mula to her, this is what have happened. But that doesn't stop the paternal side, the elders, to go to the other side and say, madi a rona a mona, re batla go tlopatala molato o rona o yentseng. So the question is then, did Castro's family or elders go to the other side and without going to the court and relay what happened? And then they are sorry about it and they want to pay for damages.
Castro, can you answer that?
Okay. You know, the as before this question, I was thinking this society has been conditioned or has conditioned itself to think that whenever there's this kind of issue, we try to hunt for something wrong that the father would have done. And it is a very wrong mentality. If we talk culture, there is a specific or there's specific rules of culture. So we don't have to misrepresent culture. So what the caller is saying is the misrepresentation of culture. If we are to follow culture, let's follow culture, and not remix it. We cannot be doing amapiano culture now.
Castro, I don't think he's saying remix it. He's saying let's find a way. He's saying if this is not working in that in this manner, and they had this expectation that you must come in. I mean, you had an expectation that they must come in. They didn't do it, but this is your child, and you want your child. Wouldn't you then do whatever it takes to make sure that you get this child? It's not remixing it. There's no mapiano.
No.
It's simply a question of how far are you willing to go without looking at your own ego, or, you know what I mean, or saying, how can they do this to me? They must do that. Sometimes the parents end up pointing fingers so much and the children are suffering in the meantime.
That is why I'm saying we have conditioned ourselves to say, what did this father do wrong? What is, it's like there's a burden on the father. That is what is, worsening this problem. Because if, for instance, the family that is holding my child, wouldn't they themselves think for the child as people who are older than me?
They clearly are not, and they should be.
Yes. So in my situation, there's many other things that I cannot say on air. But I know the background of where my child is. So from a month or so ago, I've got lawyers who are helping me pro bono with Gwabulimo and Advocate Munene. They are helping me to an extent that they even tried to do a mediation. They did try that for just over a month. It didn't work out. There is no demand that was made. It was just that there was no willingness to allow me to see my child. So I know the kind of people that I'm dealing with. And I know that there's nothing that was going to work. I tried, actually, even before the mother of my child passed on, to say, can we try and find a way to resolve this? If I can tell you what how the response was, you will be surprised. But let's just say I understand the kind of people that I'm dealing with. And I know that there has not been any willingness. Remember, this started before the mother of my child passed on. So there was no interest in allowing me to be a father to my child. So no matter how, from which angle we look at this, we can end up pointing fingers. If what is being done now to try and explore what could I have done, it is, I've heard that from many fathers, because as part of my therapy, as part of coping with this situation, I initiated an organization called We Are Fathers, We Are Parents Forum, which therefore led me to have contacts with a lot of people. They come and they are being blamed for something they don't understand. Some are actually even accused of abusing or molesting the children or raping the children. Some are even in prison because they must have done something wrong for them not to be supposed to be near their children. So I think we need to move away from this notion and start to blame people who are doing what they are doing to the children. What can I do if people have held my child by force?
I think you got it a bit wrong there. Okay, go for it.
You know, Castro, I'd like to give you an advice, right? if you really want to see your child and have time with your child, would it cost you anything to humble yourself and go there with, I mean, let your family go there to claim, as much as we would say, Madi Arona Amona, and we are here to claim, and then, and whatever that it takes, humble yourself. Instead of being on a high horse, sorry if I'm insulting you, I'm saying something wrong to you, humble yourself to the best that you can. Instead of going and fight with them in the court and so forth, have you tried that route?
Is going to court fighting with someone.
That's all I want to say. All right, I'll be off the call. I'll listen on the radio.
Guys, I think, Shame, let me tell you, Castro. I think, Shame, he's trying to be on your side, but it's sounding like he's fighting with you. And Luena, you're coming up defensive. Understandably so, let me tell you. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying understandably so. But I think what I'm getting from this is try as you may, whatever it takes. And sometimes because the mom is not even here to stand up and say, guys, but hold on, I know he's been here. Unfortunately, it has left you alone trying to fight this for your child. And it's a fight that you unfortunately cannot give up on. I'm so sorry that you're going through this. It's hard and it's wrong. You should not be going through having to hunt and search and be the one who's literally begging people to see your own child. It is so wrong. So I'm sorry that you're going through that. And I'm hoping that you will find a solution to this very soon so that you can also, you know, raise your child and be the father that you want to be. You are being denied such a beautiful thing that you want. And it's a horrible process that you're going through. Askisi Castro.
Thank you, Mapasek.
I'm so sorry that you're going through all of that. Time, it's almost 9 o'clock, guys. Time for us to say goodbye. And Tabi Singh, this is where we...
Thank you so much.
Sure. This is where we go.
Yeah.
And we say goodbye.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hopefully at some stage this will be resolved. Thank you so much for having me, Mapasek.
I wish you could even just a chat with Castro just to see, you know, if there's any loopholes, if there's anything that can be done that his legal team can look at, because what he's going through is absolutely horrible. No father should have to go through that. No parent should have to go through that. So I just wish he could get all the help that he can get. But thank you so much for coming through, Castro.
Thank you for trusting us with your story. Thank you very much.
Tabi Singh, thank you so much for your time as well and for the advice
thank
that you,
you
give all the time.
Thank you
so much. Evelyn Tongwana in the news. It's 9 o'clock. After that, Mino on the wireless.
Life, love and all. Every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. with Mapaseka Mokwele on Radio 2000. Catch the Radio 2000 podcast on radio2000.co.za.